As Michael comes up and gives us his commentary, this week's Torah portion, Noach.
You got to get that ah in there when you say that. This week's parasha is Noach, and it means rest, and it covers Genesis chapter 6, verse 8 through chapter 11. This week's parasha starts out with God saying these words: Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God and had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. This was the time before Moses had given the law, so Noah does not have the standard of what would be righteous on his own accord through the law. So when God says Noah is a righteous man, what he is referring to is Noah's righteousness is due to his faithfulness. He seeks after God. So this is, in fact, God's righteousness imputed onto Noah for his faithfulness, just as it is for us today, for you and me. God is telling us that each inhabitant of the earth are evil all the time, with the exception of Noah. God does not say that his sons and his wife are righteous, but he does say Noah is righteous. This reminds me of when the Lord visits Abraham and tells him he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because there's not even 10 righteous people in that town, when in fact there was only one who was considered righteous, and that was Lot. And he spared Lot and his family, just as he's going to spare Noah and his family. God comes to Noah and tells him that he's decided to make an end to all flesh with the flood. And he instructs Noah to build a boat, specifically an ark. He gives Noah dimensions. It should be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet tall. That is bigger than the end of this building to the other end of this building, and wider than it is. This is a big thing. Earlier this summer, I had a chance to go and see the ark in Kentucky. And when you pull into the parking lot, you are a half a mile from the ark. And it looks massive at a half a mile. You take a bus to get up there, and when you get there, it is amazing how large it is. I am confident that Noah has never built a boat before, being where he is located, not exactly next to any water. So the Lord obviously gives him the skill of a craftsman so he could be a boat builder. I am quite sure that the people who lived in the area where Noah was going to build this ark thought he was quite a fool to be building a boat or an ark in an area where there was no water. At some point, when they realized the size and the magnitude of this ark, they would realize this is a great feat. When God gave Noah these instructions, he said that he would not contend with man for more than 120 years. I have heard many people tell me that the meaning of this is that man would not live more than 120 years from that point forward, and this is simply not true. As we read through the chapters, the genealogies of men live quite a lot longer than 120 years for numerous generations. The truth of this is that the 120 years means that God would not contend with man is the exact amount of time it took Noah to build the ark. Once you think about any project that you have started and took you longer than a couple of years to finish, think how this was for Noah, who did this day in and day out for 120 years. He was 480 when he started. He was 600 years old when God put him in the ark. It is also important that we realize that it is not Noah who gathers the animals, but the Lord calls the animals two by two, two of each kind. To make sure we understand, I'm going to use an example of a dog. This does not mean that there were two German shepherds, two Dobermans, and two Chihuahuas. This simply means that there were two dogs. Later in history, variations of dogs occurred through inbreeding, and this would be true for cats, horses, and birds, and anything else that was on the earth. There would also be clean animals and birds that were brought onto the ark that would be used for sacrifice later on. When all the animals are on the ark and Noah and his family are inside as well, El Gabor, mighty God, closes the door for them. When the rain came, it lasted 40 days and 40 nights, and after 150 days total, the water began to abate. To test the land, Noah sends out a raven, and it does not return. Noah waits for a time, and he sends out a dove, and the dove returns with an olive branch in its mouth. Noah again sets out a dove after some time, but this time the dove does not return. Noah has been in the ark with his family and the animals for 1 year by the time he exits the ark. That's a long time to be in that boat, for sure. The first act of obedience Noah does is build an altar to the Lord and sacrifices some of the clean animals that God had put on the ark. Chapter 9 gives us Noah and his sons a blessing to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. He tells Noah that he and his family will have dominion over the earth and the animals, and that some of the creatures are now good for eating. I'm pretty happy about that one myself. There is a warning, though, and it's a serious one. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man his blood shall be shed. For God made man in his own image. The result of this is capital punishment for murder. In chapter 9, we have the sin of Noah and the sin of Ham. Noah's sin is that he drinks too much wine. Remember that. And for Ham, for gossiping to his brothers about his father's nakedness. God will put a curse on Ham's son Canaan, but only on Canaan, not on Ham or his sons. There are some theologians that say that this curse falls on Ham's descendants, and that they are dark-skinned, and that they would be slaves as a reason to enslave black Africans and take them as possessions. But this is not true. At that time in history, more nations would come out of Ham's genealogy, 30 in total. These nations would rule for long periods of time in that region of the world. I believe that the reason God uses Canaan for the curse is that this will be the land the Jewish nation will go into as the promised land and remove the Canaanites from it. In chapter 11, Abram is introduced, and he comes from the line of Shem, who incidentally would have been alive when Abram was born. So some applications for us to think about. When we think about Noah taking 120 years to build this ark, every day going to work, and people who live in his region laughing at him, calling in names, he continued to do his work every day. He was faithful to what God required him to perform. In addition, they were in the ark for 7 days before the rain even came. So you can imagine the people out there who continued to make fun of Noah and his family. Brothers and sisters, this is faith. The rain came, and it rained hard for 40 days and 40 nights. How is your faith? We do something for the Lord for a few hours, and we want to quit. Noah and his sons did this for more years building this ark than we are alive. Now that's commitment. A few weeks ago, the city of Houston had floodwaters that were more than 4 feet in less than 24 hours. So you can imagine the panic from the people when they were trying to find shelter. Some theologians claim that the flood was local and not over all the earth. There is sufficient proof that the flood covered the entire earth. Scientists have uncovered fossils of sea urchins on the top of the Adirondack Mountains in New York State. That's a long distance from the ocean and pretty far above sea level for fossils to be located there, thus proof that the ocean waters covered the earth. After covering the first 11 chapters of Genesis, there will be a turning point. The first 11 chapters involved the nations. The remaining Torah will concentrate on the Jewish nation as God's chosen people. It is good to remember that God used the Hebrews for his purpose. He also grafted in the Gentiles and these nations who walked with him. Brothers and sisters, serve the one who gives all good things to you, who created you for his pleasure, to do his will and spread the word as he has instructed all of us. Actually, he commanded all of us. There's a difference there. And be persistent. Choose wisely, my friends. Amen.